Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's, though through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his father, through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Last year, I began watching a television show that contains the combination of great storytelling, exceptional acting, heart-grabbing storylines, and relevant life issues. Now, I know you're thinking, "Oh, what Hallmark show are you talking about?" I am not talking about a Hallmark Channel movie. They have great movies, excellent movies. You told me to start liking the movies. Okay, we're not talking about a Hallmark movie here. We're talking about a show that comes on NBC called This Is Us. I love this show for so many reasons. How many people here watch this show? This is by far my favorite show on television. And those of you who watch it know that it's a really powerful show, especially the way that it tells the story of the Pearson family. One of the themes of the show is that where people are currently has a lot to do with where they come from. And in addition, what we do and how we live is often directly connected to our history and upbringing. This show uses flashbacks to tell the story of the Pearson family. And what you discover is that the behaviors and the practices of the family members have all been shaped by the connection they have to the family and the family's history. And when you're watching the show, you will discover so many aha moments, you know, moments where you say, "That's why, that's where they get that from. That's how that connect. You, oh, that's why they do. That's why he says that. That's why they have that practice." In one episode in the first season, the episode opens up with one of the characters, Randall, who is exhibiting some abnormal and exciting behavior about a holiday, Thanksgiving. So just for a moment, I want us to watch this clip from This Is Us.
Wake up, baby. Mm-hmm. It's turkey day.
Mm-hmm. It's too early, babe.
Meet me in the kitchen in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wake up!
Why am I soft in the middle of the rest of my life? It's so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption.
Wake
don't
up, my darlings!
Hey! A cartoon
Thanksgiving prep starts in 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. Kitchen, let's
dogs
go!
In the moonlight. Far away, my wounded.
Hey, wake up, old man.
It's Thanksgiving.
Meet me in the kitchen in 8 minutes.
Come on. Okay.
I don't find this stuff on this floor. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your lawn.
Wake up, Kev, bro.
I'm going to the kitchen in 2 minutes, 7 minutes.
Come on.
I can call you daddy. Yeah, no, it's good because it's time to get up anyway.
Hey, finally, some help. You're on potato duty.
Huh.
What is that, your potato mashing jacket?
Sorry, I can't help you. I gotta pick up Olivia. I need the keys.
It's hanging up on the wall, man.
So when do Mom and Miguel get here?
Mom and Miguel get here any minute. He's our stepdad, not ISIS. Yeah. Hey, don't forget you're in charge of picking up the hot dogs.
I have hot dogs, craft singles, and the saltines. It's not my first Pearson Thanksgiving.
Excited to meet your girlfriend.
Olivia's not my girlfriend, okay? And you're gonna be cool. Randall, look at eye contact, please. You're gonna be cool, right?
Oh, baby, I'm as cool as the other side of the pillow. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. You're not allowed to talk to her.
Does she want me? She want me so bad. Thanksgiving dad is a hot dad.
Jesus.
Watch it.
Randall really likes Thanksgiving, as you can tell from this clip. What you don't see if you watch the whole episode is, you know, because you're watching the beginning of the show, and you're like, why is he so like geeked about Thanksgiving? That's how we get maybe for Christmas, but not Thanksgiving. But what you learn in the episode through flashbacks is that when Randall and his siblings, the guy in the kitchen there, they're brothers. And if you're wondering, like, how does that work? You have to watch the show. But what you see is that early on, when they were kids, they were on their way to their grandparents' house for Thanksgiving, and their car broke down. And they had to walk 3.4 miles to a hotel, and they were in a hotel, and they were stranded. And the dad, you know, wanting to make the most of that Thanksgiving, they went to a little store, and they bought some hot dogs and some saltine crackers, and they rented a movie, Police Academy 3, and they did all these things, and he had this pilgrim's hat, and he told the story. And there's a scene where Randall's laying in bed with Mom, and he says, you know what? I want every Thanksgiving to be just like this. And so now every year for Thanksgiving, they get up in the morning. That's why he was trying to get everybody up, because they go on a 3.4-mile walk. And before they have the turkey and all the rest of the things, they have hot dogs and saltine crackers. And they watch the movie Police Academy together. So there are things that are done, that are shaped, you know, things that you do now, it's shaped by what takes place in the past. Maybe some of you have some family things that you do that's just the way you do things. And when people say, like, why do you do those weird things? Why do you do those strange things? You say, well, this is us. That's just what we do. Someone was remarking, they came to visit my house a time ago, and it was a Friday night. We were having a small group. I had a friend that I go to school with. He was driving through here, and he stopped by, and he came in the house, and he came in our kitchen. And Friday nights when we had small group, we had a table full of food. I mean, it was probably enough food for 30 or 40 people. And he was just mesmerized that we had so much food there. Well, about a year later, he and his wife came by, invited him over for dinner. They were going to be in town, and they came over. And I said, hey, I'll cook dinner for us again. They came over. And he came in not expecting to see food for 30 people, but he came in and he looked on the table and says, man, there's food here for like 30 people. And he asked, why do you cook so much food? This is how I was raised. This is us. There are things that we do that just explains, or there's really not a huge explanation for why we do things. And oftentimes we just have to respond with that simple refrain, like, That's just what we do. This is us. The same could be asked of people in the church. Why do you waste your time getting up early on Sunday mornings and coming together and singing songs? Why do you do those things? You could be doing so much more on Sunday morning. You can cut the grass. You can go for a run. You can go do a whole lot of things. And often we just respond, you know, this is us. This is what we do. Why do you all react differently to tragedies and mishaps in the world? This is us. This is just who we are. Why are you always quoting verses and chapters? This is us. Why are you all talking about love all the time? Because this is us. How can all of you with all of your differences continue to walk in the same direction? This is us. How is it that everyone else is so negative about what's going on, but you church people walk confidently and seemingly unwavered? This is us. I want us to consider some of these understandings about who we are. This seems to be an important task, especially as many who don't understand Christians or the church are asking questions and they're forming uninformed opinions about who we are. So for the next month or so, we will explore some of our core beliefs, starting today with the foundational belief that fuels everything else. So this is us. We believe in God. Our belief in God is what prompts us to come here to worship and sing songs. Our belief in God is what gives us the strength to see another day when we'd rather forget the current day. Our belief in God informs our behavior, our speech, and our treatment of others. Our belief in God is what gives us confidence and identity. Our belief in God is the starting piece of our existence. When we say in the beginning God, we are making a declaration of God's existence as the primary truth that guides our lives. And this primary belief is what has steered God's people for centuries. Following God has always started with this acknowledgement that He exists. Thus, after the rescue out of Egypt, the Lord gives Moses the commandments we call the Ten Commandments. And before uttering his commands, the Lord says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. There is this starting place of just understanding that the Lord God exists, that He is. It wasn't another God. It wasn't some other entity. It wasn't some other power. It was the Lord God. Our following God starts with that foundational truth that the Lord God exists, and He is real. He is not some figment of our imagination. He exists, and He is real. Before we can believe that He is, we have to believe that He exists. And the testimony of God's people is that He is real and that He exists. So in victory, when we're doing our victory dance, when we're celebrating God as He has delivered us, we declare our belief in God like the Israelites. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 2, they're singing this song that Moses composes. The Lord is my strength and my might, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Do you see that we declare His existence and our belief in Him when we have victories? But also in times of duress, there is a declaration of our belief in God. Like in Psalm chapter 3, starting at verse number 1, it says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help from you, for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. When we look at creation, there is a declaration of our belief in God. And so Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. When we consider that God is active in our lives, there is also declaration of our belief in God. The psalmist in 116 says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. We believe in God. We believe He exists. We believe he is creator. We believe that he heals. We believe he is in control. We believe he holds the power. We believe that God is in charge. We believe that God made us, that he moves us, and that he motivates us. We believe that God rescues us and saves us. We believe that God forgives us and cleanses us. We believe that God blesses us and takes care of us. We believe that God is alive and active in our lives and in the lives of people in the world. And while people and some observe what's going on in the world and project gloom and despair, our belief in God shapes our hearts and our minds to project something different. You see, our belief in God gives us a different outlook that places our destiny in the hands of one who promises our shore. And when people ask us how it is that we can be so sure in a time of uncertainty, our response ought to be, this is us. We believe in God. Do you believe in God? Is that your story? Is that your situation? That with everything that's going on around and everything that shifts people and moves people and shakes people to the core, we are standing sure because we believe in God. Someone said, if you really want to learn about what it means to believe in God, look at the people or look at the lives of those who have been oppressed. Think for a moment of the plight of the enslaved Africans in the 19th century and before, and those impacted by post-slavery injustice. Just think for a moment of some of the songs that were born out of the struggle of African Americans. These songs communicate a robust faith and belief in God despite the horrific circumstances. Same could be said of those who experience the horror of the Holocaust. But think about some of the songs that were born out of slavery and the African American experience in the late 19th century, early 20th century. Songs like "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around," a song that speaks of a trust in God, that a change to the current situation was going to come. And so the lyric, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna wait until my change comes. That was a song born out of a belief and a trust in God from people who didn't have a lot of physical reason to believe and trust in God, but their trust and belief in God took them through that circumstance and there were survivors. Songs like "There's a Bomb in Gilead," probably a song that some of you grew up singing and didn't really understand the genesis of that song. But that song was born out of the struggle because it was a song that communicated a belief that God would heal the wounds of slavery and injustice. And so the lyrics, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's power enough in heaven to cure a sin-sick soul." Only a robust belief and faith and trust in God would allow those who were the victims of injustice and wrongdoing to have the faith and the courage to sing that song and to believe in the truth of that song. Or songs like "Every Time I Feel the Spirit," the present circumstance does not mean God's Spirit is absent. And so they would sing with joy, "Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray." That comes from a belief in God. What does our belief in God say about us? What is your testimony regarding your belief in God? How does your belief in God dictate your actions, your speech, and your treatment of other people? I believe that this was at the heart of the Hebrew writer's encouragement an explanation of faith and belief. You see, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. And indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him, for it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And if you read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, example after example is given about these men and women who believed in God and did things that I'm sure some people looked at and said, what on earth are you doing? Noah, why are you out here building a boat? Ain't no water. Where you see water at? What's a boat? What are you going to do with this thing? But he built it because he believed that God is. This is us. We believe in God and Jacob and Joseph. Joseph, you're in slavery. And what are you doing following this God? You're in slavery. And they've thrown you in prison and they've you know, got these false charges up against you. And you're going to be killed for. Why are you still trusting in this God? Because he believes that this God exists, that God is with him, and even in circumstances where it's dark and it's gloomy, we still hold on to this faith and this belief that God exists and that he is working on our behalf. This is us. Who are we as a people? We are a people who believe in God. This is us. We believe that God is Elohim. We believe that he creates everything, that he preserves everything, that he is maintaining everything. As we think that people on this earth and people in high positions are controlling things, our belief is that that's not so, that they're players in a grand scheme, that God is actually in control of everything. We believe that God is El Shaddai. He is the Lord God Almighty, because there are so many times that I am weak and I don't understand and I need someone that is so much stronger than I am. He's El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. We believe that God is Jehovah Jireh. He is a God who provides. There are times in our lives that we don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know where the relief is going to come from. We don't know where the help is going to come from. But we believe in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We believe that God is Adonai, that he is Lord and ruler and master of our lives. He sits on the throne seat in our heart, and he is the ruler of our lives. We believe that God is Jehovah Rapha, a God who heals, because we've been sick and afflicted physically, spiritually, mentally, and we believe that it is God who ultimately heals us from all the diseases, all that ails us. We believe that God is Jehovah Rohi. He is the Lord, our shepherd, who leads us, who feeds us, who comforts us, and protects us. Church, this is us. We believe in God. And we believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Great is the mystery that God is one in three. Our belief in God asserts that God lives in community and that we enjoy him expressed as Father, as Jesus, and Holy Spirit. We are therefore furnished to live in this world with the wholeness of God. It was Paul who wrote to the Ephesian church, writing to his young minister, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of truth. Without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. He was revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, taken up into glory. What does our belief in God say about us? How will it inform our decisions, our actions, our directions? Bless you. That is a question we ask ourselves as individuals and as a church. What does our belief in God say about us? I pray that our belief in God will say more about us than our style of dress or our style of worship. You can say amen if you want to. I hope and pray that our belief in God will say more about us than what version of the Bible we read or what political party we support. You can say amen to that one too. I pray that our belief in God will be reflected in all that we do. When people ask us, why do you do those silly things? Why do you waste your time? This is us. And it's not a waste of time, because we believe in an almighty, powerful God who provides, who heals. We believe in a Jehovah Shalom, a God who is our peace. With all the chaos that goes on in our world, in our neighborhoods, and in our own lives, in our own minds, we need a God of peace, amen? And we believe in that God. This is us. Throughout history, the church has grappled with the best ways to communicate that so that people would simply understand. That's the origin of creeds. And you have creeds like the Apostle Creed or the Nicene Creed that starts off with, we believe in God. Go to a church website and when it goes to a statement about our beliefs, it always starts with, we believe in God. That has to be the foundation. We can't go anywhere else until we start with that. A lot of times we want to lead with other things and start with other things. We have to start with our belief that God, we must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We believe that he exists. We believe in the God Almighty. We believe in the God of Scripture. We believe all the stories. We believe all that encompasses of who God is. And we just simply don't have enough time to talk about all that God is. All I can provide to you is just a sample. You need to go and look it up for yourself, and you'll spend days and weeks and months and years trying to come up with an expression that captures who God is. We can just simply do our best with the language that we have, with the time that we have. But hopefully just in this moment, just right here in this setting, we all will be overcome with an understanding that God is alive. The songs we sang today all kind of fit together because we worship a God who is alive. He is the great Lord Almighty. We worship him. We honor him. We worship and adore him. He is the foundation of who we are. I pray that if you're struggling with that you would let the community of faith surround you with stories, with testimony, with eyewitness testimony about God's existence. God is alive. I said God is alive. You can say amen to that. It's all right to talk. It's all right to respond to that. If you believe that. If you don't believe that, we may need to have some more conversation. But if you believe God is alive, you can say amen to him being present and active in your life and being present and active in this church and being present and active in this community and being present and active in this world. See, as people who believe in God, we simply don't act like the rest of the world does. And there are things that, listen, we're going to get sad and we're going to be fearful of some things, but ultimately we are not shaped by the circumstances of this world. We are shaped by our firm belief in God. His promises are sure. Our destiny is sealed. Our citizenship is sealed. Why do we do what we do? This is us. We believe in God. I want to invite you right now. Let's pray to this God. Let's pray to the God of heaven. Let's pray to Jehovah Jireh. Maybe right now is an opportunity that you give God and speak to him and thank him for providing for you, for giving you peace, for giving you salvation, for making you holy, for keeping you, for protecting you. Right now, let's all pray to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for creating us and creating this world. And you have set all that we see in motion. And God, you have blessed us with the opportunity to live within what you have set into motion. God, strengthen our faith and strengthen our belief. God, with all that we have on our plates and in our lives to contend with, God, we believe that we have allowed so many things to come in and to take the place of a simple belief in you. God, we have done things to make provisions for ourselves that cause us to think that we don't have to depend on you, that we can live lives with you, but that we can supplement what you give us by some things that we do. God, we're praying a prayer of repentance right now, that you will forgive us for ever thinking that we could do things with just a little of you. Because God, right now we confess that we can do nothing without you. We believe that you exist. We believe that you are. We believe that we are absolutely nothing without you. God, we come together to worship because we believe in you. We serve in this community because we believe in you. We're faithful in our marriages because we believe in you. We take care of our children because we believe in you. We love our siblings because we believe in you. God, thank you for being all that you are. And God, may we spend the rest of our lifetime learning and discovering more of you. God, we have 10,000 reasons to give you praise and worship. And if we are blessed to see another day, another week, another month, another year, I am sure we can come up with 10,000 more. God, thank you for your love, which is so overwhelming. Thank you for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you would position yourself to live in God's love, to make belief in God a foundational truth in your life. And maybe you haven't done that before. Maybe you have not professed a belief in God and belief in Jesus Christ, his son. Well, you have an opportunity now to share that confession. If you want to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, God the Father will heal you. He will save you. If you are baptized into Jesus Christ, he will empower you with his Holy Spirit. And you will live as a co-heir with Jesus Christ himself. If you want to know more about that, let's talk about that. Let's discuss that. Let's sit down and let's talk about what it means to live a life in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've made that profession and confession and you've just walked outside that line and you just need renewal, you need refreshment, you need forgiveness, you need the body of Christ to surround you and to help you in your walk. We want to provide that for you as well. As we sing this song of worship, I pray that it flows out of our heart that says that we believe in God. Let's stand, let's sing.